Well, greetings. Glad to have you back for the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and we want to take the next few sessions just to spend some time with you to be talking about 8 responsibilities that every father has. And as a father of 3 sons, these will be coming from my own heart and many of them from my own life. As I just begin to share with you some things that God has taught me as a dad and now as a grandfather that he wants me to be doing in the area of my parenting responsibilities. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." You know, I think we're living in a society that's filled with misinformed dads who kind of feel like their basic responsibility is just to kind of provide and protect. Many times they'll say to me as a counseling pastor, Pastor, I go to work and I earn the money and I bring it home. And of course, I'm here to protect my wife and my children. And everything else, I just kind of turn over to my wife. But you know, as you study Scripture, we learn that that's not exactly what God had in mind. It's not just provide and protect. Anybody can father a child, possibly. That's not the greatest achievement. It's in the thousands of hours invested in that child that make the difference. Now, I know a lot of folks say to me, well, Pastor, what's the best, quantity time or quality time? Well, I think the better question is, what is going on during any of that time? Is a relationship being built? See, because time is not the goal. Relationship is. And that relationship means that the father must do more than just bring about provision and protection. Questions that would come to my mind would be, do your children really trust you, Dad? Do they ask your advice, or do they usually go to Mom when they're looking for advice? And the quality and quantity of trust is the best measure of your relationship with them. Now, of course, you may be saying, well, Pastor Huffman, what is trust? Well, that's that bridge that I think goes between our child's need to know that he belongs and to really belonging. Every child needs to know that he belongs. And we as dads need to build a bridge to them to let them know, yeah, we really love you and accept you, and you're a part of our family. To know that child is unconditionally loved. The reason we give children freedoms is because we trust them. The reason they come to us with sensitive concerns is because they trust us. And when children trust us, they can more easily trust our God. And isn't that what it's all about? Learning how to have a heart for God. And it all comes back to, what do they learn about trust from us? Now, exactly what does it mean, if any man provide not for his own? Well, actually, the term provide means to consider in advance. And so we've got to consider in advance what our children will need and make sure that they get it. This leads us to some responsibilities that we want to be talking about for the next couple of sessions. It's all involved in providing for his own, so we don't deny our Christian faith and we don't become worse than an infidel. Well, man, you say, Pastor, I don't want to be guilty of either of those. Well, let's listen carefully. Let's think about our responsibilities as dads. Number one, a father must cultivate a sense of family identity. And that is one thing that I see in the life of Noah. And when you consider the story of Noah having 3 sons and then, of course, 3 wives as the story unfolds, you're able to see a sense of identity in that family, a sense of oneness. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations or his period of time. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then we go over to chapter 7 and verse 1. And it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And Genesis 7:7 says, "And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." There was a mutual love and respect in this family. You can imagine the difficulty of telling his wife and his boys, "Now, guys, I get a message from God, and he says that we need to be building a huge boat, and we need to gather all kinds of animals into this boat, and God is going to send so much rain that it's going to flood, and it's going to totally cover the earth." You can just imagine the eyes of his boys getting huge and looking at their dad and saying, "Rain. What's rain? Flood. What do you mean, Dad? Flood? What? We don't understand that." Because prior to this time, it had never rained. God had just watered the earth with a heavy dew. And so consequently, they had to learn to trust their dad. And they had to become a part of the team. And you can obviously see that as they worked together on this project, there was a mutual acceptance of who they were as part of the team. And we see that permissiveness encourages individualism rather than a team spirit. And so many times, men, in our homes, we're just too permissive. We just allow our children to kind of do their own thing and have their own way. And guess what, guys? That affects the rest of their lives. Now, authoritarian parenting presents a temporary facade of family identity. That's a dad who's high on control and low on love being expressed. That's authoritarian. But yet conforming to family values occurs out of fear and duty, not desire and devotion. And that's obviously not what you want in your family. That kind of parenting leads to fragmentation in your family once they have the opportunity to exit their home, and sometimes even before they exit the home. But a Christ-centered family identity is established when members base their relationships on devotion to one another as Christ is devoted to the church. And loyalty to this type of family is natural. It's just so easy to want to be a part of that kind of a family. In fact, somebody said this type of home is one where children want to run to it and not run away from it. And that's, of course, the kind of home that God wants us to have and we want to have. And so a team spirit that provides a sense of belonging to something pretty special, something none of them will want to endanger by foolish actions. And so you see, fathers in Christ-centered homes have to be active in the family process. It's more than just earning a salary. It's more than just providing protection. It's being actively involved in the parenting process, not just looking on as mom does the parenting or does the spiritual leadership. No. We as men need to be involved in planning exciting times for the family and family vacations and even taking children with us wherever we can. And letting them know that we love them and we want to impact their lives with every spare minute that we have. And they will learn this as they watch us go to parent-teacher fellowships and go to their athletic events and many other events in which our children may participate. In fact, you'll be able to see the love that is expressed by the amount of time that you and I as a dad will invest in our children. I never forget one time hearing a famous pastor once say that he never took a day off. He said, the devil never takes a day off. But you know, the best response is, since when did the devil become your pattern? The devil is not our pattern, men. We need to take time off. We need to spend time with our wives and with our children so we can impact their lives for Christ. Verbalizing how neat it is to have all the members of the family that God has given you. And just letting them know that each one is different, but we love each one individually. And what a blessing that is. And it's so easy to play favorites sometimes because we have children that are maybe more like us and have interests more like our interests. But playing favorites is a no-no. You can see how damaged the family of Isaac was with their sons Jacob and Esau, and the family of Jacob with Joseph and the other brothers. Playing favorites doesn't work. And so we as fathers have to make sure that we are actively involved, that we cultivate a sense of family identity. The second thing is that a father must demonstrate a growing love for his wife. In fact, loving parents can train godly children. You can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. And here's the story of Elkanah and his wife Hannah, and how much he loved Hannah and how sensitive he was to her and to her needs. You know, when you watch dad love and cherish mom, it builds a trust for the entire family. And this is what our children need. Now, how much trust can a child put into a dad who won't take time to be with their mom? Not a whole lot. How much trust is built if a child hears dad criticize and be impatient with their mom? Now, they need to see us loving their mother. Now, I know children will groan when you and your wife kiss, but, you know, inside they rejoice every time that happens because that gives them security. Security. And in the private world, they need to know that there's no one there that is going to destroy their private world, because we as parents are the ones that need to let them know we are a team, and we need to be listening to them, and we need to be showing them how much we love them. Now, number three, a father must understand and respect his private world. Understand and respect his private world. You see, young people have issues that we could call part of their private lives. And we as parents need to understand and respect and give them some space concerning the things that they may be dealing with. Yes, we want to be talking with them about it, but yet we have to wait until they're ready to talk about it. We read about this in Proverbs chapter 18 and verses 13 and 14. And it says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" A wounded spirit, who can bear? And we need to respect our child's private world. Now, the public world is when they're away from home. Their personal world is when they're with their friends and their relatives. But the private world, that's one where nobody can visit without an invitation, because it's on the inside. And many of us as parents would love to be on the inside, on the private part of their life. And when a child is willing to open up that private part of his life to you and let you in, never ask for a rain check. Always be willing to be there for them. And so I see that our time has come to an end. We'll have to pick that up next time. Understanding and respecting our children's private worlds. These are so vitally important as we as dads determine we're not going to be renegade dads, but we're going to be resident dads. We're going to be there for our children when they need us, as long as they need us, because our homes are filling stations, and their lives need to be filled with the love of Christ and the love of their parents. And so until the next time, I trust that God will give you a fantastic day and use you in an awesome way.